Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Growth, the Most Misunderstood Term in the Trades Industry. If there's one thing that nearly every trades company focuses on, it's growth. So what's so confusing about that word, Tom? And why is growth misunderstood?
Well, Bill, growth actually is a good thing, and our contractors are right to focus on it. However, as companies grow, the cost of doing business within the company changes. As you're well aware, Bill, any change in the cost of doing business will automatically require, yes, require, a modification of the company's pricing in order to maintain profitability. With that said, there's actually three very specific points of growth that literally have the ability to put a company out of business.
Well, Tom, you're absolutely right. What you're going to share today is taught in nearly every one of our classes. When the cost of doing business changes, it necessitates the adjustment of pricing in order to maintain your profitability. Well, this will be a short introduction since most of you are well aware that Tom Grandy is the founder of Grandy & Associates. Having been in business since 1987, most listening have probably attended a class that Tom has taught at one time or another. I've had the privilege of taking over the leadership of Grandy & Associates back in 2013, but Tom Grandy continues to work with contractors primarily through two-day on-site company overviews. And now, with growth, the most misunderstood term in the trades industry, here is Tom Grandy with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
There's a word that's totally misunderstood within the trades industry, and that word is growth. Now, growth is generally considered to be a good thing. However, most company owners, especially new ones, visualize a direct relationship in their mind between growth and profitability. If the company does more work, it'll make more money. If they do a lot more work, they'll make a lot more money. And if they double sales, they'll double profits. Now, although that can be the case, it's usually not. There's actually three distinct periods of growth that can literally have the potential to put the company out of business. The first point of growth that has the potential of putting a company out of business is when the owner moves from the field into the office. This transition typically takes place when the company has between 3 to 5 technicians in the field. This point of growth affects the owner and the company in two very specific ways, one mentally and the other financially. From a mental standpoint, it's really tough. The new owner is transitioning from a technician mentality into a business owner's mentality, and therefore needs to learn the business side of the business. That is a really hard transition, and usually one that the owner never really thought about prior to starting the new company. The new owner left the old company for freedom. The new entrepreneur visualized himself working in the field, doing sales, having the freedom of pretty much doing what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. However, things have evolved to the point that now someone needs to actually run the company. Well, gee, how does the new owner learn how to do that? They didn't learn it in high school. And nothing was covered in the business side of the business during trade school. As a matter of fact, an individual can actually receive a PhD in business from Harvard University and still not know how to run a small business. That degree may help the individual run a corporation, but normally it's of little value when it comes to running a small trades company. So how does the new owner learn the business side of the business? Generally, it's by the road of hard knocks. The owner does some things right, and they do some things wrong. And if the learning curve isn't flat, they learn a few things along the way, and the company survives. If not, well, we all know what happens. Sure, there are a few business seminars and webinars that teach basic principles of running a profitable business. But hey, who has time to learn? Things are busy. Fires need to be put out, and those pesky customers need to be taken care of. Working 60 to 70 hours a week leaves little time to attend a class, even if it's online. The bottom line is that making the mental transition from working in the field to working in the office is tough. Necessary, but really hard. It's called forced growth. When the owner was working in the field, it was productive labor and happy. At the end of the day, there was a great deal of satisfaction in having solved a customer's problem or having installed a difficult piece of equipment that exceeded the customer's expectations. But now, moving into the office doesn't seem to provide the same warm, fuzzy feeling at the end of the day, at least not yet. At the same time, the new owner is adjusting to the mental transition. There are economic shifts taking place. Working in the field was not only satisfying, it was also productive and profitable for the company. The owner was paid for those long hours spent in the field, and it showed up on the bottom line as profit. However, when the owner replaces themselves in the field with an additional tech, and then moves into the office, their salary just became an overhead cost. Ouch. Historically, the additional overhead cost of the owner's salary requires the company to increase their hourly rate to the customer somewhere between $8 and $12 an hour, just to make the same profit they made before. That's right. They need to raise their hourly rate somewhere between $8 and $12 an hour just to make the same profit they made before. Now ask yourself a question. Of all your friends, neighbors, or relatives that have made the transition from the field into the office, what percentage of them actually raised their rates $8 to $12 an hour? And the answer is really close to zero, zip. So what happens? The company begins that 1 to 3 year process of going out of business. And there you have it. The first point of growth that has the potential of putting the new company out of business is when the owner moves from the field into the office. By far, the most difficult point of growth for any small business is when gross sales get between $750,000 and $1.2 million, or roughly $1 million a year. By far, this is the toughest, roughest point of growth the company will ever experience. When sales are nearing $1 million a year, lots of things are happening, and they're all happening at the same time. Let's begin with the owner. The owner has generally been in the office running the company for probably several years as gross sales approach $1 million. The comfort level of learning the business side of the business is getting better each day. However, as the company nears $1 million in gross sales, something else is happening to the owner. His or her hours are maxed out. At this point, working 60, 70, or perhaps 80 hours a week simply isn't enough. If the company is going to get any larger, they're going to need additional people. Now, that extra person may take the form of an office manager, a field supervisor, or perhaps even a salesperson. The bottom line is clear. If the company is going to get any larger, the owner needs some help. That extra person or persons, although totally needed, is going to dramatically increase the company's overhead costs. Something else is also beginning to happen. QuickBooks alone isn't working anymore. Now, QuickBooks is a great program. As a matter of fact, roughly 85% of all the trades company use QuickBooks. I use it myself. However, increased sales also create the need for more information. Let's begin with the customer history. QuickBooks provides a list of customers, which have been sufficient up to this point. The owner knew most of the customers personally since he or she sold them the job, and in many cases, actually performed the installation or the repair. The owner remembered where the customer lived, what equipment they had, and important facts about their lifestyle and their pets. However, as the company grows, and approaches that critical $1 million in gross sales, there's a problem developing. The owner no longer knows all the customers personally. The very real need to record total customer history has now come front and center. The company needs a customer-based program that will record all the customer's information so it's available to the entire staff. As the company grows, it becomes necessary to record things like brand and serial numbers of equipment, whether the customer has a maintenance agreement or not, what specific repairs have been performed, and whether they paid their bill on time or not. These are just a few things that need to be kept on track. And there are a whole lot more. The company now needs a full-blown customer-based program, and QuickBooks alone doesn't have it. Also, what began as a small, simple company that performed service and installation to a limited type of customer is now dramatically changing. Now the company is doing a variety of things. They're doing residential work, commercial work, perhaps even industrial work. And each of those areas has installation and service. The company has also begun a maintenance agreement program. And depending on the trade, may even have a retail store. One of the potential dangers of growth is that one department can easily be subsidizing another one and no one knows it until it's too late. As the company nears that mystical $1 million a year, the need to departmentalize the company's P&L statement is becoming clear. Yes, that can be done through class codes with QuickBooks, but it's not an easy process. To accurately separate departments will likely require a more sophisticated accounting program. And by the way, did I mention that's going to cost a bit more money? When the company was little, inventory wasn't a big deal. The owner knew there was what was on hand, and if he wasn't sure, it was a short walk to the back of the building with a glance around the shop, and he'd quickly know the information he needed. Now, however, the company has grown. Now the need for a computerized inventory system is glaring. What's in stock? What's the reorder point? Who's the preferred vendor? With several service techs and a couple of installation crews, parts and equipment are going out the door faster than the owner can count. QuickBooks can't provide that kind of information. The company now needs that detailed inventory program. Dispatching service calls in the early days was simple too. Initially, it was William and then Chad joined the company. When the service call came in, the first available tech was quickly dispatched, no matter the location. But now, things have changed. Now the company has several service techs, some residential and some commercial. And to be efficient, the company now needs a dispatching program in order to efficiently schedule techs in order to minimize travel. QuickBooks doesn't have that either. So what's the point? When a company is nearing $1 million in gross sales with the desire to far exceed that number, it's time to at least begin thinking about installing that brand new, fully integrated computer system, or at least check out additional programs that work in conjunction with QuickBooks. Now, the company is looking for an investment of anywhere from $55,000 to $50,000 to do that, plus at least a part-time person, if not a full-time person, to run it. As sales moves towards $1 million a year, receivables are also becoming a major problem. Panic would strike in the early days when a couple of customers had not paid on time and receivables climbed to $25,000 or $30,000. How was the company going to make payroll that week? The good news was that the company was growing. And that meant more money was coming in. So cash flow wouldn't be a problem before long, right? Wrong. As sales go up, so do receivables. Yeah, that's what I said. As sales go up, so do receivables. Now the company is easily looking at receivables in the $100,000 range or more, especially if they do a lot of commercial or new construction work with 30, 60 days, and perhaps 90-day terms. When sales are approaching $1 million a year, the company is being forced to make significant investments in staff and software, not to mention the need for additional cash to fund inventory and receivables. That is a lot of additional investment, and it's totally needed in order to prepare the company to move to the next level. Unfortunately, the company often does not yet have the sales to support the needed investment. The results are predictable. As sales go up, profits go down. Now, I don't have any national statistics to support what I'm about to say, but I have observed contractors in every trade across this country and in Canada since 1987. And what I've observed is that over 70% of contractors that reach $1 million in gross sales for the first time lost money. Now, talk about frustration. The new owner has spent years, trying to reach that mystical $1 million a year in gross sales. And now that they finally hit it, they're losing money. Ouch. Producing $1 million in gross sales really is the most critical point of growth in the entire life of the company. Now, some listening have already surpassed that number. Congratulations. But watch out, because the same process reoccurs at $2.5 million, $5 million, and $10 million levels. These are all points of growth that will require the company to make significant investments to prepare for the next level, but often without the corresponding sales to support the investment. The third and final point of growth that can put a company out of business can happen the first year, the second year, the fifth year, the 55th year. It can happen every year, potentially every year. What am I talking about? I'm talking about any point of rapid growth. Any point of rapid growth. And I define rapid growth as anything over roughly 15% a year. Now, obviously, there's a huge difference in 15% of $300,000 in gross sales and 15% of $3 million in gross sales. Now, that doesn't mean you can't grow more than 15% a year. Of course you can. But the company had better be creating a detailed month-by-month cash flow budget each year to use as a basis for adjusting their hourly rates in order to maintain profitability. Just be aware that any point of rapid growth will not cause gentle cash flow problems. It will cause severe cash flow problems. Let me repeat that. Just be aware that any point of rapid growth will not cause gentle cash flow problems. It will cause severe cash flow problems. Simply stated, it takes a lot of cash, money in the bank, to run even a small business. It takes cash to make payroll each week. It takes cash to purchase materials and parts. It takes cash to cover overhead costs, rent, utilities, insurance, advertising, etc. It takes cash to fund the ever-increasing receivables. It also takes a lot of cash to pay for increased inventory, not to mention the desire to expand the company into new areas. The irony is that most trades companies are started by a technician that used to work for someone else. How much cash does a typical startup company have? The answer is little to none. Bingo! The average contractor begins with cash flow problems that only increase as the company grows. Many years ago, I was presenting a full-day seminar for the Mr. Electric franchise. During one of the breaks, a contractor approached me, stating he had a major problem. When I asked him what it was, he began by explaining that his company had a 30% net profit. My mind instantly said, ah, that's the problem. This contractor doesn't understand the difference in gross profit and net profit. As most listening know, gross profit is what's left after the company subtracts the cost of labor and materials from sales. Net profit, however, is what's left after cost of goods and overhead are subtracted from sales. Stated another way, net profit is what's left after all expenses are paid. I then verbalized this to the contractor. His response blew me away. He stated that the company actually had a net profit of 30%. After everything was paid, they had 30% left over. I then responded by asking, "Then what's the problem?" He went on to explain that his company had literally quadrupled sales, not doubled, quadrupled sales over the past 9 months. And that if he couldn't secure a loan or a line of credit by the end of the week, he was going to have to close his doors. Wow. Cash flow, or in reality, lack of cash flow, puts more companies out of business than any other single thing except improper labor pricing. Most companies try to overcome the lack of cash flow by creating a line of credit with a bank and/or using their distributor as their bank. How, you might ask? By delaying payment for parts and equipment and using that money to cover the cash flow items we discussed earlier. The problem with both is obvious. Receivables and inventories will grow. That's right, receivables and inventory will grow as the company grows. At some point, the line of credit will be maxed out and the company will be placed on COD by their distributor. Need I say more? And there you have it, the three major points of growth that have the potential of putting a company out of business. The first problem occurs when the owner moves from the field into the office. The second bump in the road is when the gross sales reach $1, $2.5, $5, or $10 million. And finally, it's rapid growth that creates major cash flow issues. When it comes to growth, be proactive. Be totally aware of the company's ever-changing cost of doing business and adjust your hourly rates as needed to maintain profitability. In closing, I'd like to make a suggestion. Seriously consider joining a mixed group. A mixed group usually consists of anywhere from 3 to 6 company owners that do similar type work but are located in different geographic areas. None of us, have all the answers. Being part of a mixed group that meets a couple of times a year provides a network of people that can be called on as problems arise. Often a simple phone call can solve a problem that may seem overwhelming. Give it some thought.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.